Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, Text Number 34. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanena sattva-darshanaha. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advised us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, the mental speculation and dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books and knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender. And one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanena sattva-darshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya Desatarane. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was explained that the purpose of life is to perform sacrifice. That in human form of life, everyone must perform jaga, or sacrifice. Otherwise, as Krishna explains, one will be forced to serve the illusory energy and become entangled in material existence. And in the fourth chapter, Krishna has explained that knowledge of how to perform sacrifice comes down through the disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam Aimam Rajarashayo Vidu Sakaleneha Mahata Yogo Nashta Parantapa. That is Parantapa, is Parampara, is the method by which one receives knowledge coming from Krishna. That it is not possible to approach Krishna directly, but one has to hear from the representative of Krishna. And in the fourth chapter, the beginning, Krishna has explained Janma karma cha medyavyam evam yo veti tattvataha. That this knowledge, this tattva, is to understand about Krishna and to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. And by doing so, Krishna says, Vitaraga Vaya Krodha Manmaya Mamupashitya Bahava Jnana Tapasa Putamadvavam Agata. That by such understanding, by taking shelter of Krishna through his representatives, that many persons in the past, they became purified by understanding Krishna. And therefore, they developed transcendental love for him. Therefore, the process of understanding Krishna, the process of developing transcendental love for him, depends upon surrendering to Krishna's representatives. And here it explains, as it explains in the Mahabharata, Taraka Pratishta Shruteyo Vibhina, that there are many, many Taraka Pratishta arguments, what is to be done, what is not to be done. Everyone has their opinion on everything. Therefore, even in the Vedic literature, there are many statements that seem to contradict each other, many arguments about reality. But there are apratishta, which means they're very unstable. Today, I have some argument, I defeat you. Tomorrow, you come up with a better argument, defeat me. And shrutaya vibhina, there are so many books of knowledge, and they're meant for different persons. Therefore, just by reading books alone, one will not be able to ascertain what is the proper direction in life. And asavari shir yasyana dina, even amongst the great saints and sages, there are different opinions. Therefore, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, if one actually wants to understand what is religion, mahajano yena katasapanta, that one has to surrender to mahajan, that is, a person in disciplic succession coming from Krishna. There's no other way of doing it. That is probably right. It's not by independent study of books will one understand reality. It is only through the process of surrender to a bona fide representative of Krishna. Books are helpful inasmuch as they teach one who is a bona fide representative and how to surrender to him. And because ultimately, one has to become a menial servant. This is the last thing the conditioned soul wants to do, but is the first thing the liberated soul has to do if he wants to become liberated. That is, he has to surrender to a bona fide representative of Krishna as a menial servant without false prestige. And one has to learn how to satisfy the self-realized spiritual master. So that satisfaction means that one has to learn this process as defined here, submission, service, and inquiries. Not that what we should be ignorant and simply try to satisfy the spiritual master. No one has to understand. It is explained here that blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. It is not that one, as we know that story which we'll tell again, about how there was one guru with his followers and all of them... we'll tell the story soon, but we'll tell it once more. So all the followers, they were very obedient, and they, whatever the guru told them, they immediately do. So the guru is riding on a horse, and his followers, five followers, followed behind. And the guru's hat got knocked off, but the disciples didn't pick it up, thinking that it is not the order of our guru. So the guru said, "Where is my hat?" They said, "Well, we didn't pick it up because he didn't tell us, Guruji." So he said, "You rascal, you fools. If anything falls off his horse, you pick it up." "Yes, Guruji, whatever you say." So a little while later, the horse started to pass stool, and the disciples said, "It is Guruji's order." And they immediately gathered it all up. And when the guru's hat fell off, they put the stool in his hat. And then, when the guru said, "Where is my hat?" immediately, when he put the hat on his head, all the stool fell all over. So he said, "You rascals, look, I'll write up a list. And if something's on the list, you pick it up. And if something's not on the list, then you don't pick it up." He said, "Yes, Guruji, we are surrendered." So, afterwards, this horse started to pass stool again, and the disciples looked at the list, and there was no stool on the list, so they didn't pick it up. And then when the hat fell off, they picked that up because it was on the list. But unfortunately, the horse started to ride very fast, and the guru hit his head against a tree and was knocked unconscious. And the disciples checked the list and said, Guruji's not on the list. So they left him there and rode off with a horse. Blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. So one has to learn the process of Krishna consciousness is called the process of Buddhi Yoga. So Buddhi means intelligence. So the whole process is to develop one's transcendental intelligence. Therefore, one has to become inquisitive how to develop my Krishna consciousness. This is called Jignasu Shreya Uttama. One has to be inquisitive. Tadviganartam Sugurum Eva Bigachet Samit Pani Strotriyam Brahmanishta. Or the other one is that one has to be inquisitive so one can understand what is his ultimate purpose of life. And not only one should be submissive, it is said, but one should actually try to ascertain reality. But it is not by relevant inquiries how to practically apply devotional service within one's life, so that one comes to the platform of realization, understanding how to be Krishna conscious. Not that by some good fairy will come, because I'm such a sincere person, and surely benedict me. If I simply put my time in the movement and chant whatever kind of rounds I chant and do whatever kind of service I do and whatever else I add to the process, it's all right, because I'm a nice person. And surely one day Krishna realized that, send the good fairy with her magic wand, benedict me, and everything will be nice. I'll go into Never Never Land. But that is not the process. The process is that one has to gain intelligence through the process of proper hearing and trying to understand things what one can understand by inquiry. And then, finally, one has to put into practice what one has so carefully heard and tried to understand. Not that now I've heard it, now I understood it, and I don't like it. It's not what I wanted. So I'm not going to do it. No, ultimately, if one wants to get the benefit of submissively learning how to be submissive, learning, because without being submissive, one can't hear anything. If I'm thinking that this person and me, we grew up together, I know what he's really like, therefore, he couldn't possibly have any more knowledge than I have. As one person said, Dr. Patel, he's become a high court judge. Well, maybe that's true. I don't believe it. But even if it was true, I'm sure he's not going to get paid for it. So this idea that, yes, maybe this person, he supposedly knows more than I do, but I don't really believe it. So with such an attitude, it is not possible to hear from anyone. Because whatever the person is saying, in the back of our mind, our minds will be chanting, don't really believe him. He doesn't really know. You know more than he does. You should be up there giving the class. He should be listening to you. He's puffed up. So, with this type of attitude, it's not possible to hear anything except for our own mind chanting our glories in the background. So one has to learn how to be a servant of the devotees, and then try to hear what they're saying and to admit, to be humble enough to understand that we don't understand things perfectly, therefore to ask the right question. That's called intelligence. Just like Arjuna, he didn't sit there like on the chariot thinking, you know, Krishna, this is a heavy guy I got as a chariot driver. He's going to preach to me. It's probably going to take a couple of hours. He probably has a lot to say. I'm going to have to sit here and listen to it, you know. He didn't just sit there and listen. He tried to understand what Krishna was saying. He asked the right questions. And therefore, Krishna is able to delve deeper and deeper into the subject matter. And finally, Arjuna understood. And when he understood something, then he said, yes, now I'll go and fight. On the other hand, we may sit for years in the class, and it goes in one ear and out the other, because we don't really try to understand what the person's talking about. we think, well, he has something to say, and I have something to say, and everyone has something to say, and we're all here together in this ritual that we perform every so often just to keep everyone happy. I'm here too. Join the crowd. And I'm sure he has something interesting to say, but whatever it is has no real relevance to my life. It probably has nothing to do with making money and getting ahead in life, which is really what I'm interested in anyhow. So when it's thinking like that, he's simply talking about Krishna, this mythological person that everyone's glorifying every once in a while, and talking about surrendering to him, which sounds like a nice idea for an article for Back to Godhead, but as far as my practical life goes, this is pretty far out. This is asking a lot. Because I wouldn't mind surrendering to God if he personally came, exhibited his universal form, or at least his forearm form. But ultimately, when you really get into this philosophy, I gotta, surrender to this person who 10 years ago was just a bhakta. This is a pretty heavy philosophy to accept. And if I listen too carefully, I may wind up accepting it. And what's going to happen to my false ego, my pride, everything I've worked so hard for? I may have to give it up. Next thing they're going to tell me is get 50% of my income. This is really getting heavy. So better off to smile, and if they tell a joke or two, laugh, but not to get too serious about what's being said. No, one actually has to become serious about listening and then try to delve into the subject matter in such a way as that one will actually come to the platform of following it or surrender to make it attractive enough, understandable enough that one could apply it within one's life. Then it says that ultimately it's not so cheap, that the spiritual master will only be inspired, or any devotee who's taking that part will only be inspired to reveal as much information as he sees the genuine desire of the audience to try and understand. If he sees that most people are not very interested in the subject matter, then he may not reveal very deep confidential knowledge. But when he sees the genuine desire, the genuine interest, the genuine willingness, then he reveals more and more knowledge to the aspiring devotees. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not discuss very confidential matters in public. He only discussed with 3.5 confidential associates, Ramananda Roy, Sika Mihiti, and Sarup Damodar, and the sister of Sika Mihiti, Madhavi. To those 3.5 confidential associates, he discussed very confidential knowledge. Even with the 6 Goswamis, he did not discuss such knowledge. And with people in general, he only revealed. Only with some philosophers, he discussed philosophy. Only with the 6 Goswamis did he discuss intimate knowledge. And the most confidential knowledge, he only discussed amongst a few devotees. And to people in general, it was Kirtanam and Prasadam. Therefore, the spiritual master, he reveals, according to the actual qualifications and desire of his followers, or those who are listening to him. So, one has to get a clear understanding from the bona fide spiritual master, and when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, then and only then is the actual reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries perfect. That is, when we actually have a question, it'll be answered. When we're actually submissive and we're ready to render service, then as soon as when we actually have questions, we'll get answers to them. And therefore, we'll be able to understand the path of Krishna consciousness will become progressively clear and more enlightened. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes.
And you're saying that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only gave very confidential notice to a few devotees, that this information is also there. The instructions to the Sikh Swami also in Chaitanya Temple, that you are going to distribute them also to ours and you.
Yeah, so. But it's so confident, it's so sublime that even one reads it, one will only understand it according to one's surrender. Krishnadas Kaviraj said, I shouldn't reveal this knowledge because people in general may misunderstand it. But I'll reveal it anyhow because people in general won't understand it. It requires some qualifications to understand it. And even if it's right there, people don't even bother people were so anxious, they'd pick up the book and read it. It's hard enough to get someone to read it, what to speak of understanding. Yes. You mean what their confidential talks were? Well, we know from what the confidential talks are because they're in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, at least some of them. It describes about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talking intimately with Sri Rupa Damodar and Ramananda Roy. Well, we can understand it's the same type of topics. Maybe he told his sister don't offer people rice anymore. There's some pastimes of Sika Mihiti, going to see Lord Jagannath, and seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming in and out of Lord Jagannath. There's those pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But there's no topics of intimate talks that they were talking about. Well, I read Chaitanya Bhagavat, I don't remember any confidential talks there either. But I think we should be satisfied with confidential talks between Ramananda Roy, Sri Damodar, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I don't know if there are more confidential talks. Krishna will later on reveal those things to us. First, after we understand those confidential talks. How Srimati Radharani lies down in the room of pride. She's covered with the blouse of anger. If you can understand those things, everything else is easy. The tilak is her for being best devotee. So, if you... What's that? Because the ladies were counted as a half, according to the count. That doesn't mean that they were sexist and they only thought women are only a half. But that was their, more or less that. In other words, Madhavi Devi was an elevated gopi, a confidential associate of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, obviously a half did not mean that on the spiritual platform she was only half a devotee. But that was just from the material consideration. But she was considered, obviously, everyone else, like the six Goswamis, were not considered quarters because they weren't part of the conversation. In other words, Sri Damodar was one, Ramananda Roy was two, Sika Mihiti was three, Madhavi was a half, and then the six Goswamis were a quarter each. That's not the mathematical way that they were figuring things out. Maybe he sent her confidential messages. I don't really know. The point is that somehow or another she was considered a confidential associate because she was a confidential associate of Srimati Radharani. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So what topics they conversed, there's no book that I know that Prabhupada translated or gave us or talked about that spoke about that. Yes. Because the instructions are eternal. The spiritual master is eternal, the disciple is eternal, and if the disciple follows his instructions, then the relationship is eternal. If he's eternally serving his spiritual master, his instructions, then the relationship is eternal. When is it supposed to end? The end of this body, we don't end. So if you go on serving your instructions now, and keep on serving them, then the relationship is eternal. What's going to stop it? Well, there's only one mood. There's only one understanding, that is to serve Krishna. But Krishna accepts different moods of service. Somehow or another, in the spiritual world, there are gopis and cowherd boys and all kinds of different moods. And everyone has their own mood of serving him. But all the gurus are one in the sense that they're all servants of Krishna. And Krishna gives them intelligence how to inspire others to serve them in different ways. But everyone is a servant of Krishna. It's not that in the spiritual world, if one is a cowherd boy, he has a different interest than one if he's a blade of grass or a cowherd girl. They all have the same interest to please Krishna somehow or another. Yes. Yeah, one has to serve the devotees. In other words, if we actually serve the devotees and we become enlivened by said service, then naturally we'll be interested in getting more information how to become more enlivened. It's something practical. If the devotee, after serving a devotee, you become more morose after serving his instructions. If someone was on the platform on the Vyasa sign and taught you intimately how to blaspheme and criticize all the other devotees, how to neglect your service, and you were inspired by such a direction, and you followed it, and finally you were bewildered and confused and morose, you think, well, maybe I should look for some other direction. But if there's some practical instructions, and by following them, we become enlivened and enlightened, then naturally we'll want to become more enlightened and enlivened, and the process is to hear. So there are different degrees of materialized senses. There's senses in the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, and the mode of goodness. So if we apply whatever senses we have, then the other part of the verse is seva mukehi jivado swayameva spratida. And Krishna purifies the senses. We engage them in his service. And gradually they become purified. So as much as we can understand, we could try to apply. And as much as we apply, then we get further understanding, which helps us even enter more deeply into Krishna consciousness.
And for some days, or some times, some years even, certain things seem very natural and simple, and then after some time, maybe it's a difficult for the trick of Maya, but some things that you very easily accept at one point, they become very mystical, actually, but because it's mystical, the mind rejects it.
Well, there's a difference between theoretical knowledge and realized knowledge. When one is realized, he doesn't become disturbed by apparent contradictions. So Prabhupada writes, the realized soul is actually self-control because he's satisfied with pure devotional service. So if we're actually satisfied with purely serving Krishna with some feeling and love, then although there may be confusion sometimes, we won't be disturbed by these things. Then practice, and gradually we'll become real situated, and Krishna will give us some realizations, and we'll become less disturbed, more enlightened and less disturbed. And if we're not becoming more enlightened and less disturbed, then we should become disturbed about the fact that I'm not becoming more enlightened and less disturbed, and do what's necessary to do so. Teresa performed some tapasya. Not that it's all right, I'm not very enlightened, I'm quite disturbed, but it's all right because at least I get enough to eat and the house is warm. What more can you ask? Well, we should keep in mind the fact that I'm about to leave my body, and I want to become qualified before I do that to go back to the spiritual world. I want to become utilize this lifetime for something valuable. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.